You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast, recorded live at our Manchester campus. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.
And it is good. Well, we've not met before. I'd love to introduce myself. My name is Joel, and along with my beautiful wife, Amy, we're the youth and young adults pastors here at Audacious Church. And yeah, give it up for Amy. She's, in reality, makes everything happen and has to put up with me. So pray for her. It's good. Hey, if you are first time in church, we want to say a massive welcome to you. We've been doing a series called Big Questions. And we kind of went on a Google and we started looking through a bit of ChatGPT. What's the most Googled questions by people? And we've answered things like, who am I? This idea of identity, like, who am I? A couple of weeks ago, we had Pastor Paul Reed speak on, will everything be okay? In life, will everything be okay? And we've gone through that. And it's my pleasure and honor to tackle a big question today, which is this: what's the point? Everyone go, ooh. Look at the person next to you and go, what? Look at the other person, your second choice, and go, the point. What's the point? I want to quickly read a verse. I'm going to pray and then we're going to get into this. Does that sound all right? Hey, can we stand to our feet as I read this? Proverbs 19, 21 says this: many are the plans. Everyone say plans. Plans. Now say it like you love Jesus. Plans. There you go, there it is. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that you're here and speaking right now for every person in this room. No matter what they've gone through this week, I pray would they focus on your voice right now. Right now, would you speak to their hearts, their minds? God, I pray as we come around your word, would it speak? Not my words, but your words. God, I thank you that we live in a country where we can freely worship you, where we can come around your word and lift up the name of Jesus as the church. God, we thank you that you are building your church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. In your mighty name we pray, amen. You can take your seats and you can help me in joining by welcoming our Geneva campus right now. They are watching us in Geneva. Just turn around and just give a little, like a little bonjour. Don't know if that's, is that right? Bonjour, bonsoir, I don't know, but it's, didn't do French. Bonjour, great to see you. Tim and Frankie and the team, absolutely brilliant. And they're joining us right now. What is the point? I don't know about you, but I've asked that question many times in my life. In different scenarios, I have come to the point where I have asked the question, what is the point? Maybe you sat here and you can relate a little bit to this. You join a gym. You know what I'm saying? You pay the extortionate amount for a gym membership. You start going, you start working out on the arms, and then after a couple of weeks, you're like, not working. You do a few more reps, a few more press-ups, a few more machines that you don't know what to actually do, but you look good while you're doing it. You put it on Instagram, and you say you go to the gym, but you see no results, and you get to this point where you go, what is the point of the gym? Maybe you're an Arsenal fan in the room right now. Whoa, 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 whoa. I mean, we're in Manchester, so says the Liverpool fan. If you're an Arsenal fan, you're going, what is the point of this football team? Another year without a trophy? Like, what is the point? We're going through a crisis. Like, Arteta, what? Like, what is going on with this club? I've got three things at the moment that I am often asking, what is the point? The first one many will relate to, it's IKEA furniture. Like, we do half the job for them. You know what I mean? You go and it looks good and then it arrives in a box. You're like, IKEA, you should do the job. And you start building it and you're working on it. And I'm sure they put parts in there that aren't actually for it just to annoy you when you've built it. You've got three parts left. And you're building it and you're working on it. And then you lose the little tool that only works on their furniture, which is just selfish. And then you're like trying to find the tool. And partway through building your brand new IKEA wardrobe, you ask the question, what is the point of IKEA furniture? The second one is this, is cooking. I love to cook, but I don't love following a recipe. Amy, in our house, often we'll go, you know, Joel, this is the food shop for the week. This is the meal you're cooking. And I will go, great, just so you know, I will not follow that recipe because I don't understand the point. Have a little bit of like flavor yourself. You know what I mean? Season your own food. I don't need Jamie Oliver to tell me how to season chicken. I can season my own. Do you know what I'm saying? What is the point of a recipe? Every time I follow a recipe partway through, I ask myself, what is the point of this? I could have done this better myself, Gordon Ramsay. If you're watching, probably couldn't. The third one is this, and some will relate, some won't. Golf. Okay, so in October, I made the adult decision to start playing golf. I thought, Joel, you're 30. You need to get an adult hobby, and golf seemed like a good option. And so I started playing golf. And golf is this weird sport where one day you can be so good, you're calling them up saying, let me on the PGA Tour. Like, I'm ready to go. Tiger, get out the way. I'm ready to go. And then the next day, you can play the same course, the same game. You can do everything the same, and you play awful. Like, you can't even hit the ball. You're just swinging and missing and swinging. And partway through, many times in my golf career of the last few months, I have thrown a golf club, repented for that, and gone, what is the point of this game? What is the point? The reality is, I think as humanity, this question of what is the point goes deeper than some IKEA furniture and following a recipe. I think in ourselves, there is this question and longing for the answer to the question, what is the point of my life? What is the point of my job? You may have been in a job for many years in your life. You turn up 9 to 5, and it does reach a point where you go, yeah, but what is the point of this? Maybe you've been in Manchester for some time and you've got to a point, what's the point of being in Manchester? Like, I've been here, I know all the best restaurants, I know the coffee shop, I know what's going on, I know my way. Like, what's the point of still being in this city? Like, I don't feel, there's a point, there's a question and a longing for purpose. Ultimately, when we say, what's the point? We are asking the question, what is the purpose? And as society, as humanity, we are asking this question, what is the purpose of life? It's one of the most Googled questions of all time. What's the point? What's the purpose of being on this planet? YouGov, the government, did a poll called the Death Poll, which is a catchy title for a poll. It took it in 2021. And its idea was they were taking a poll about life, meaning, purpose, and death. And within it, they asked thousands of people from all over the UK different questions around this idea of life. What is the meaning of life? And they asked the question in this survey to ask Britons, do you believe your life has meaning? Do you believe your life has a purpose? And interestingly, 59% of Britons said, yes, I think my life does have meaning. But the thing that shocked me is 26% of people said they didn't believe their life had any meaning at all. This isn't one or two people. They have gone all over the nation, asked thousands upon thousands, and 26% of people have come back with the answer that my life does not have purpose. We as a society are at risk of simply existing and not living. We are at risk of simply going through the motions of life, living paycheck to paycheck for the holiday to come in the summer, when at that point we live life to the full for 2 weeks, then we go back to reality. And missing the very point of life in itself, absent of purpose. When life is absent of purpose, it can feel void of meaning. But when we live with purpose in our mind, everything can change. When we live a life on purpose, suddenly our perspective starts to shift. Suddenly in the mundane, we see possibility. Suddenly in our jobs, where we've been for many years, we start to see opportunity. When purpose is at the forefront of what we're doing, suddenly everything changes. Mark Twain, one of Pastor Glenn's favorite quotes, said this, the two most important days in your life are the day you were born and the day you find out why. What a quote. The day you were born, we mark it significantly. But just as important as that is the day you discover your purpose. We need a life's purpose. Not just paycheck to paycheck, not just paying the bills, but a purpose which carries significance. Proverbs 19:21, I read at the start, many are the plans of a person's heart. My friends, you might have a lot of plans, but that is not a purpose. You might come up with loads of good ideas, but I could be as bold to say you don't need good ideas. You need a God idea for your life. I've had many good ideas as I've walked through life, But my friends, they've come up short. But I truly believe that today there is a God purpose for your life. Not just a good idea, a God-ordained idea. Not just a good thought, but a purpose that brings meaning to your existence. Not just going through the motions, but living a life that can make a difference in this world. We need a God purpose. We need a God purpose. God has a purpose for your life, and it will bring meaning and fulfillment. When you follow your plans, I promise you, if it is just your plans, it will leave you disappointed and frustrated, absent of meaning. But if you follow a God purpose, suddenly you enter the supernatural and everything changes. Here's the truth, you're made to matter. You, not the person behind you, next to you, behind you, you sat on the back row in church in Manchester were made to matter. Sat in Geneva right now, in our campus right there, you were created by God to matter. Sat from the youngest to the oldest, I don't care where you've come from, what you've been through, what your story is up to this point, I can confidently say you as an individual were made to matter by a God who knows you. You weren't made to make up the numbers, you were made to matter. You weren't made just to exist, you were made to matter. You weren't made to just pay a paycheck, you were made to matter. So I want to give you four things that you were made for. Does that sound good? Four things from the Word of God that I can confidently say that you were made for. Nudge the person next to you and say, you were made. Nudge the other person and say, to matter. The first one is this, you were made on purpose. You were made on purpose. If you're gonna understand that you were made to matter, you need to understand who you are. You need to know your identity. We've done a whole message, you can go back and look on that, where we've answered the question, who am I? But we have to grasp this idea of identity to understand that there is a purpose. Psalm 139, 13 to 14, for you, speaking about God, for you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know them full well. Let me declare over your life right now. I don't know what's been spoken over you. I don't know what's been done to you. I don't know how you've walked in the room. You are not an accident. You are not here by accident, forgotten by God. God knows who you are. And I don't care if your family have spoken it over you, your parents have spoken it over you, your friends have spoken it over you. You matter to God. You aren't an accident. You're a miracle in motion. You aren't here just to make up the numbers. There's a purpose for your life. You aren't here just to sit in the back and go along with what's going on. You're here to contribute, to be part of it, to make a difference in the world. You're not an accident. Let me just say, for people who've had that spoken over them by their family, by parents who have said, just so you know, you were an accident. You weren't an accident to God. You weren't a surprise to God, because my Bible says that as he knit you together in your womb, in your mother's womb, there was a plan and a purpose and he breathed life into you. You're not an accident, you're a miracle in motion, created by God who knows who you are. The point of your life is to live on purpose. The point of your life is to live with purpose. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's masterpiece. How beautiful is that picture? The God of the universe, who flung stars into space, who created the universe, stars and planets and all this stuff, you are the masterpiece. You, not the stars, not the plants, not all the beauty in creation. You are the masterpiece created by God. For his masterpiece created anew in Christ Jesus. So we can do good things he planned for us long ago. You were made on purpose. When we understand we were created on purpose, this is the second point, you can begin to live in purpose. You were made to live in purpose. 2 Corinthians 5 to 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone is a believer in Jesus, if anyone follows Jesus, they are a new creation. The new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. You were created to live a supernatural purpose that flows through proximity with Jesus. You were created to live out a supernatural God purpose that totally flows when you are in Christ, when you are a Christian, when you are a follower of Jesus. You can live out your plans and feel like it's good, but still totally miss the point. You can have a great plan for your life. You can write it nice and big in your diary and put a vision statement in your room and say, that's my plan. But we've already established where your plan goes. You can have a plan but miss the point. There's a guy in the Bible called Paul who lived a life just like this. The Apostle Paul wrote so much of the New Testament, but before he was Paul, he was called Saul, and he had a plan for his life. The plan for his life was to bring down the church. He heard about Christians, and he heard about this move of God, and he thought, that is not the plan that I have. I'm going to go after the Christians. And we hear stories that he didn't kill people himself, but he got people to kill Christians. He was pulling down the church. He had a plan. You cannot deny this guy did not have vision. It just wasn't a God vision. It was a him vision. And he had a plan and a plan and a plan and a plan. But suddenly, he had an encounter with Jesus that changed everything. He went from living in his plan to having a God encounter that gave him a God purpose. He went from pulling down the church to building the church. He went from persecuting people to investing in people. He went from living out what he thought was a good idea to living out what God said was a God idea. He was in Christ Jesus. He went from himself being in him to being in Jesus, and it changed everything. If it wasn't for that, we wouldn't have the books in the Bible that we read. If it wasn't for that, the church wouldn't have advanced in the way that it's advanced. Why? Because he was in purpose, because he was in Christ. You can read this whole account, Acts 9:1-7. I don't have time to read it now. But I encourage you this week, go back and look at the journey that Saul goes on as he becomes Paul. He writes, actually, in Acts 9:19-21, we hear this story. Saul spent several days, he'd been persecuting the church, has an encounter with Jesus, goes to spend some time with the disciples, and then we read this. Paul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once, he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. That is living in purpose. That's living in purpose in alignment with Jesus. The point of Saul's life was always this, to be living in God's purpose. The purpose hadn't changed. Saul changed. The purpose for your life isn't going to change. We need to change to align ourselves and be in Christ to follow him. The purpose for your life was created long before you even existed. Long before you were a twinkle in your mum and dad's eye. There was a purpose for your life. The purpose isn't going to change. You need to change. We need to change. Just like Paul changed to align himself with God's purpose. I want to prophesy over someone in the room that God wants to rename your purpose. I was praying on this over this week, and I feel there's something in it. I want to prophesy that God wants to rename your purpose. Because you've spoken death over your purpose. You've spoken it's a pointless thing over your purpose. You've spoken that my job is pointless, my family is pointless, this life is pointless. But Jesus wants to speak a new name over your purpose. He gave Saul a new name. He said, the old is gone, the new is here. Paul's actual name means humble. You know that? Paul's name means, the definition is humble. He humbled himself. Isn't that fascinating that God gave him a name, humble? Why? Because Paul had humbled himself, put his plan aside, and said, God, you're in control. And I believe that God wants to rename some of your purposes today. Some of your purposes that you've been speaking death over, God wants to speak life over. Rename your purpose. You're not just going to work. You're sent by God as an ambassador to heaven. Isn't that fascinating when you rename it? Because you can wake up on Monday and go, I'm just going to work. I don't reckon so. I reckon you're going as an ambassador sent by Jesus Christ to make a difference in the world, carrying heaven, the kingdom of God, into a desolate place to bring life to your colleagues. If you rename it, suddenly how purpose starts to arise. Just a simple change. I'm not just going to work. I'm an ambassador. You aren't just completing tasks because your manager told you to. You're displaying what honor and excellence looks like. In a world that is void of honor and excellence, when you do a job well and honor your manager in their time, you point him to Jesus. And you can go, I'm just doing a task. I'm just doing a task. You ain't just doing a task. You're representing Jesus as you do it. You have an opportunity to make a difference. You're not just the only Christian in your classroom or university lecture hall by mistake. You've been sent like an arrow by God to point your classmates to Jesus. You've been sent by Jesus, young people. Sent by Jesus. And when you're the only Christian and you stand up and live different, you know what you're doing? You're going, hey, I'm a follower of Jesus. And people start to ask questions. You know what you go? I've got a purpose on my life. I'm not compromising for the things of the world because I've got a purpose. University students, when you go into that lecture hall and you live a life that's different, you're renaming your purpose. You're going, I'm not just turning up for uni for a certificate. I'm turning up for uni for a revival to bring the fire of God to the lecture hall. Rename your purpose. You're not just serving on a Sunday team because no one said yes on the rota. That might happen, but that's not why you're doing it. You're partnering with Jesus Christ as he builds his church. Just think about that. He'll build it either way, but we get to partner with him. When you put on a host t-shirt, you're not just making up the numbers. You're partnering with Jesus. When you serve on production, on the cameras, you're not just turning up. You're partnering to build the kingdom of God and advance his church. You got to rename your purpose. Band can join me. The third thing is this. You were made to live with purpose. You were made to live with purpose. We've established you were made on purpose. We've established that when you're in Christ Jesus, you're in purpose. But you were designed to live with purpose. Romans 12:2, do not conform to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values. The point of God's purpose for your life isn't to be conformed, it's to be transformed. It's not just to go with the flow, it's to live set apart. It's not just to follow what everyone else is doing with their lives and just to go along with it and go, well, society's changed, so now we say this. Okay, but I'm not conformed, I'm transformed. When you're transformed, what you're doing is you're aligning yourself with God and seeing how God sees the world. You're renewing your mind to think like God, to talk like God, to live a life like God. You're aligning yourself. I don't know if you've ever been in traffic before. Amy and I drive the same route every day to work. And you're driving. I don't know if you've been in a situation where the sat-nav's telling you to go one way. There's a plan, there's a purpose. And suddenly you start to see like a few cars like turn down a little road. You start going, what do they know? What do they know that I don't know about this situation? They start going and one goes, you're like, nah, they're probably just gonna see their mum, it's fine. They're blooming out, they're all going. And they all start going, you think, they must know what they're doing. And you start to follow them. And you're driving down this road, you're thinking, no, this is what everyone's doing. This is what everyone's doing, might as well go this way. Then you get to a dead end. There's a traffic jam on a dead end road. Do you know what that looks like? That's conforming. It's just going along with the flow. There was a purpose, there was a sat-nav, there was a way to go. And then you went, yeah, but everyone's going this way. That's not the purpose for your life. When you conform, you just follow everyone else's plan for your life and stop living out the God purpose that he's designed for you. When you're transformed by the renewing of your mind, you focus on what God is focused on. You start living with supernatural, supercharged purpose. You know the direction you're going when you're transformed. You know the direction you're going when you start following where God's called you to follow. Proverbs 15:24 says this, the path of life leads upwards for the wise, they leave the grave behind. Conformed living winds downwards. Transformed living winds upwards. When you're conformed, you go down, down, and down. And then you're so in the detail of it all that you can't see any purpose. It's just murky and gray, and you can't see past the day that's coming up, and you can't see past the bills and life. And it's just, oh, you're so consumed because you're winding further and further down. But when you're transformed, you wind upwards because you're coming up to God's level and you're seeing how God sees your life. When you renew your mind, you're renewing your mind to align it with Christ, to align it with God. And when you suddenly look, when you've been transformed, you go, oh, I can see a bit of a purpose here. You come above the nitty gritty and the detail of life, but above the everyday stuff, and you start seeing a purpose in your life. It's transformed living. It winds upwards. When you're transformed, you become a better friend, a better parent, a better son and daughter, a better boss, a better employee, a better person. Why? Because you're working with God, with His purpose. The point of your life is to live with purpose. You were made to matter. And the fourth one is this. You were made for a purpose. You were made for a purpose. Living on and in and with purpose means we can live for a purpose. Not a few purposes, a purpose. There is a corporate purpose that God has called every follower of Jesus to. Now, there are unique callings, don't get me wrong. There's unique callings that God calls us into, specific areas. We're not all called to go into business. We're not all called to go into ministry. We're not all called to be parents. So there are unique callings, and tonight is going to be awesome because we're going to recap on this message, but then we're going to have Pastor Glyn and Soph share about calling. What does the Bible say about calling? How do you understand your calling? We're going to answer your questions. There's people sat here and you're like, yeah, there's a purpose, but what's my specific calling? Well, tonight I believe that as we unpack the Word of God, God's going to speak to you about your specific calling. You can send in your questions on Instagram and all that kind of stuff, and we're going to answer them. But let me talk for now about a purpose. The church's purpose, a Christian's purpose. Matthew 29, 19 to 20. Therefore, stay. I think so. Therefore, occasionally, when you feel like it, have a wander outside. No. Therefore, go. The purpose of a follower of Jesus is not to stay in a holy huddle, patting ourselves on the back that we're going to go to heaven. Praise God, we are. But you know who I want to go to heaven? My friends, my family members, the people I walk past in the coffee shops, the people who cut my hair, the people who serve me behind the counter. There's a purpose on the church to go. And your purpose as a follower of Jesus is to go. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'll be with you to the very end of the age. There's more to life than just our world. There's a God purpose that sends us into the world. We have a corporate purpose, a great commission. What's it look like for a purpose to be outworked like this? What does it look like? Well, there's a beautiful verse that I think summarizes it so well. What does it look like when we suddenly start living for a God purpose? Matthew 15, 30, 13 to 16 says, let me tell you why you're here. Let me tell you your purpose. You're here to be the salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and you end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be a light. Come on, Audacious. We're here to be a light in Manchester. We're here to be a light bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going as public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I've made you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you on the hilltop on a light stand, shine. Keep open house, be generous with your lives. Be opening up to others. You'll prompt people to open up to God, this generous Father in heaven. When you start living for a God purpose, you point others to their purpose. It's a cycle. The church for 2,000 years has been doing this. Men and women of God going, I know that I've been made on purpose. Not only have I been made on purpose, I'm living in purpose. Not only am I in Christ Jesus and in purpose, I'm living with purpose. Not to conform, but be transformed. And once that penny drops, people have gone, well, I'm actually going to start living for, not any purpose, a specific purpose to reach the lost. My friends, your family members will come to Jesus when you start doing this. They will. University will look totally different when you start doing this. Prayer meetings will start happening in workplaces. It's happened before. Why can't it happen again? We've seen crazy things happen when people have started living for a purpose. We got Welsh revivals, other revivals, this revival, we had the Wesleys, everything kicked off. Why? Because people started living for a purpose. Not any purpose, not their purpose, a God purpose. Watch what will happen if you put this into action in your life. The point of your life is to live for a purpose. You were made to matter. So we're coming into land. We're looping all the way back round to the original question, which I like. I wonder today what you would say the point of your life is. Not only that, I wonder how you came to the conclusion that that was the point. Who told you that there's no purpose in your job? Who told you that there's no purpose of being a university student? Who told you there's no purpose on serving on a team on a Sunday morning? Who told you what the point of your life was? Because I've just established God is telling us exactly what you were designed for, exactly what your purpose is. We're gonna do two responses in this moment. Then tonight, I really encourage you to come back tonight. If you're really longing, like you've heard and you're like, this is awesome, I love the Great Commission and I love all this stuff, but I need a calling. Oh, come tonight. Pastor Glenn and Soph are going to talk so powerfully about what it means to follow the call of God. What even is the call of God? Is it audible? Is it not? Is it a dream? Is it a vision? What is it? What is it? Well, tonight I think we're going to unpack it. But today I got two responses this morning. First one, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and bow your heads. You're here and you've been living a you plan. A you plan. You've had so many good ideas for your life and different jobs and careers, and maybe you're at uni and all this stuff, but you know your plan has left you feeling empty, confused at times, disappointed. Well, I believe that when you're in Jesus, when you are a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, you receive a God purpose. But the first step is making a decision to follow Jesus. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That 2,000 years ago, he came to earth, lived the perfect life, died on the cross for our sins, but didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead. And in that moment, he gave us the opportunity to connect with God and connect with a God purpose. So you're here. You don't have a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you've made a decision like this before in the past. You know you're not living for God. Maybe this is your first time in church and you know God's speaking to you in this moment. Every eye closed, every head bowed, I'm going to count down from three. And I'm going to ask you to be bold with just me and one or two of the team looking, just to put your hand in the air as an outward decision and an outward declaration of what you're deciding in your heart. In three, God loves you. He has a purpose for your life. In two, he knows you by name. In one, lift your hand nice and high right now if that's you. You want to become a Christian and follow Jesus? Yeah, hands going up. Nice and high, keep it high. Yeah, yeah. Hands all over the room. Yeah, 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 the back, yeah. Who else am I about to pray for in this moment? Yeah, yeah. Don't miss this chance. Yeah. Who else am I about to pray for? Who else needs Jesus in this place? Yeah. You've tried it on your own. It's just led to disappointment. You've tried it on your own. It's not taking you anywhere. Yeah. Keep your hand nice and high. Hands still going up. Just a few more seconds. Don't miss this chance. Your heart might be racing. That's all right. The Bible says that God knocks on the door of our heart, waits for us to answer. In this moment, you're answering to God. Yeah, so good. Thank you, Jesus. So, okay, you can put your hands down. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray a prayer. And this prayer is you confessing with your mouth that you're a follower of Jesus, that you believe in Jesus. So we're going to pray it all together. If you put your hand up, you're going to pray it with everything you've got. Come on, church, let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus. Come on, Audacious, help these guys out. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you're real and I can see now that you love me. I know I'm not perfect and I've made mistakes. So right now I ask for your forgiveness. I believe that you died on a cross for me, but then you rose from the dead. So I want to stop living my way and invite you into my life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. From now on, from this moment, my life is yours and I want to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, it says all of heaven celebrates. Right now, heaven is celebrating that decision that you've just made. It's the best decision of your life. Just stay where you are for me. Just come in into land, and a QR code will be on the screen right now. And also we've got a response area out in the foyer. If you just made a decision to become a follower of Jesus, I really want to encourage you. The best thing you can do is tell someone. Don't leave the moment here and go, well, that's that, it's done. I want you to tell someone. There's a form you can fill out on that QR code when you scan it. The team will have put a Bible in your hands. You can scan the QR code on there if that's easier for you this week. There's a little form you can fill out, and here's what will happen. Me and Darren and Pastor Darren and Pastor Paul and some of the team will call you this week and talk to you about your next steps. I'd love to talk to you about what it means to be a follower of Jesus and give you a call and talk through the next steps of being a Christian. But I encourage you as well. We've got the response lounge out in the foyer. You can go there. I've got 2 minutes left on the clock. I'd love you to stand to your feet all over the room. Don't leave in this moment because I want to pray over everyone. Tonight, come back. Let's talk about calling. I believe some people tonight are going to receive a calling to go and be missionaries. They're going to receive calling into ministry. I believe tonight people are going to get a calling from God to go into business with a God purpose in the business place. I really believe it. But here's what I want to pray for. I want to pray for people, if you've lost sight of purpose, you've lost sight of the God purpose. You knew there was a purpose once. Maybe you're like, you've lost sight of the Great Commission. How we've all been there. When you hang out with your Christian friends, you're like, this is quite nice. It is. But if your barber was there, I promise it, it'd be a whole lot better. If that person who serves you coffee was there, I promise you, it'd be a whole lot better. Maybe you've lost sight of the Great Commission, or maybe you've lost sight of a purpose that God spoke to you about, a calling that God spoke to you about, and you just know, not been living for it. That's pretty much everyone in the room, I'd be honest. So here's what I want you to do. Would you lift your hands front to back, left to right? I want to pray over you. You know if this is you. Hey, this is me. So many times in my life, I've forgotten the purpose of the Great Commission. I've lost sight of my calling, but then I've realigned myself, remembered that I've been made on purpose, that I'm in purpose, that I'm living with purpose, for a purpose. Father God, right now, for every person, would you open their eyes to see once again the purpose that you have placed on their life. God, I pray right now for a fresh fire in our church for the Great Commission. Fresh fire right now to go into Manchester, into the surrounding areas and make disciples. God, for those that have been called by you to very specific things and they know they've compromised, they know they've not been living it right now, fresh passion, fresh anointing, a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit to live out the purpose that you have for them. God, we thank you that when we choose to do this, Manchester will be changed, the UK will be changed, Europe will be changed, and we'll see a move of God in our time. God, we thank you that you're speaking right now. In your mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Audacious Church podcast. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.